Good to see everybody on a couple days before the new year. Can't believe how fast these years go by. This season, this holiday season, Christmas season, we've been concentrating on four key words that fit within kind of the traditional church culture of the Advent calendar, the practice of celebrating the coming of Jesus, but also flow out of the character of God. And we've been talking about how God interrupts our lives to make sure that we understand who he is, how much we need him, and the nature of these characteristics. Probably the biggest interruption in my whole life, when God just spoke the clearest to me, was in college when I was struggling. I wasn't really walking with him. I knew about Christ. I was a believer, but I hadn't grown, wasn't really making any progress. And a friend of mine, who later became a really good friend, challenged me. He said, what are you doing to sort of figure out what God wants you to live like and what's going on? And I said, well, I pray. And he said, what else do you do? And I've told you this before, and I couldn't come up with anything else. And he goes, I got an idea for you. How about read the Bible? And honestly, I'm sure people have said that to me before, but it was the first time that someone had ever said it that clearly. And it was like a lightning bolt sort of struck my forehead. And it was like, wow, I should read the Bible. Maybe that would help me understand who God is and how he wants me to live. In the Bible, we learn about these characteristics of hope that God has given us, of the nature of love. He initiated and loved us first, otherwise we wouldn't know what love is. The nature of joy and peace in a relationship with God. And also that inner peace that comes from knowing that things will be okay and trusting him. And of course, all of these things are possible through Jesus Christ. Without him, we would have no hope, no love, no joy, no peace in a sustainable way. So we're sort of reviewing just a little bit here for the kids especially, but also for all of us. And my idea is this: the Bible tells us that Jesus is the key to having purpose and meaning in life, to having an understanding of these qualities of hope, love, joy, and peace. And I'm reminding us to take Bible reading seriously and reviewing some of the things that we have covered in the previous week. So let me pray for us before I jump in. Father, we love you, and we are grateful for the chance just to worship, to express to you that you are not only worthy of our praise like we sang about, but you are our only source of hope and love and joy and peace. Thank you for knowing what your creation needed, which was your intervention by sending Jesus to be with us, to be a human being like us, to overcome sin and temptation unlike us, and to be willing to grow and offer his life for us, Father, to pay the penalty for the sin that we should have paid the penalty for. Father, your grace is amazing. Your love is endless. Without you, Jesus, your life, your death, and resurrection, we'd have no hope. So we love you and we praise you. And Holy Spirit, just as we review these things briefly now, would you give us the ability to learn and to remember some things that would really help us not only understand you, but live more faithfully in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love Romans 15:4 because it just sort of expresses the heart that we have behind learning about God and learning Scripture. Romans 15:4 says this: for everything that was written, everything that was said, everything that was taught through teachers and oral philosophy of life and those kinds of things related to teaching people before the Bible was actually written down and printed in the Bible that we have, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, to help us learn, so that through endurance and encouragement, I kind of think God knew that life sometimes would be tricky and we need to endure, we need to walk through hard times in a broken world, we need encouragement to know that things are going okay. So with the endurance and encouragement that comes specifically through scriptures, through reading the Bible, in all of this we might have hope. We might have hope. So this first little idea reviewing for you, this nature of hope. If you have your sermon notes, you can look on the slide. I have a fill in the blank. This is mainly for the kids. We try to keep you engaged. So if you want to know what that fill in the blank is, you can try to figure it out. Jesus gives us, there's a blank, And I describe this as trusting God in the midst of confusing and hard circumstances. And that, of course, is hope. Jesus gives us hope. And that usually involves trusting God and having a peace with God in the midst of confusing and difficult circumstances. I'm in Luke chapter 1, and you remember I gave you this example of something pretty confusing that was happening. And it was very difficult for people to go through and to understand, but God spoke to them and gave them a sense of hope. I'm in Luke chapter 1, of course, and reviewing this for you in verse 26 for the birth of Christ. In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Just, if you've been going to church for a long time, and if you've been a Christian for a long time like I have, how many times do you think you've read this passage? Like maybe 100? I don't know, more than 100? One of the things that's interesting about God's word is if you're open, you can learn new things about very familiar passages, and it never ceases to speak in a new and fresh way. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom will never end." These are confusing times. She's a teenage virgin. She's engaged to be married, but she's not married yet. And she says, "How will this be? Since I am just a virgin." I love that she asks questions. Don't ever beat yourself up for asking questions. It shows that your brain is actually working. We all have questions, especially if this were to happen to you. I'm sure you'd have a lot of questions. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. For she is barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And then Mary, just, this is the expression of hope. "I expect good things, even though my circumstances are confusing. I trust in you, God, even though this is a whole new plan for my life. I am the Lord's servant. I submit all of my being, body and soul, to you. May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. It's a perfect definition of hope. God's presence and the promise of his provision, he says it will be okay no matter what. And so okay is not that things are going to work out the way that you wanted, because this can't possibly be what a young Jewish teenage girl would have wanted. But God says, "Look, I have a plan for you and for the world, and this needs to happen." And she says, I trust you, and I will be with you. You don't need to be afraid. My presence will be with you, and I will help you through this." Sometimes I think we confuse God's presence with getting what we want. In other words, God didn't say, "I will give you an easy life and what you want." God says, "I will be with you, I will forgive you of your sin, and I will help you through the hard times." Remember that verse 4 of Romans 15, you're going to need endurance and encouragement in life, but I will be with you. Years and years ago, I talked my son Carter into coming to a park with me, and he was going through a phase where he was afraid of bees. He's like his father. He has these weird anxieties, and TV and internet doesn't help. You know, like there's all these shows like when bees attack or when bears attack or whatever, and it sort of gets in your brain and you get afraid. I promised him that the bee wouldn't get him if we just went to the park, that I would protect him. And he said, okay. And so we got there. Second we walked into the park, this bee literally went and landed on his finger. And he and I were looking at this bee on his finger, and my eyes were big and his eyes were big, and it stung him. And the first thing he screamed, the second thing he said after he screamed was, "Liar!" You know, because he thought that it wasn't going to happen. I told him it wasn't going to happen, so he believed me. But what I meant to say was my presence would be with him even if a bee stung him. I couldn't always prevent the bee sting. You know what I mean? Like I can't prevent pain in everyone's life, but I can be with you and I can help you through it. And that's what God says. Look, it might be confusing, but I give you hope. Hope comes from me and my character and my presence, and I will help you through it. The next one is Jesus shows us what blank is. This is describing something that flows from God and always involves sacrifice. What do you think, kids? Jesus shows us what love is. Love is known to us by the nature of God and by his revealing Jesus to us, but it also involves sacrifice. If you have your Bibles, we're in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We learn about the nature of God's love. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Jesus is the source of our life, is the understanding of what love is, and he allows us to love others. This is love, describes this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, as a payment for the brokenness and the sins that we should have paid for on our own. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, we've experienced God in our lives, and his love is made complete in us. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he went through on earth, the suffering, his death on the cross, all those kinds of things are evidence of God's love. And that's how God wants us to love others. And it's very, very sacrificial, and it's not always easy. I don't know if you're like me, but when I was younger, during the Christmas holidays and New Year's and staying up late and everything like that, being physically tired wasn't a problem. I could stay up all night. I could do all this stuff, and I just wanted to play games and have fun. Now I find myself wanting a nap occasionally on Christmas Day, and I find myself going to bed a little bit earlier on New Year's Day. I'm hoping to make it to maybe 10:30 this year. I'm going to push myself, but it's funny how your life changes and your body changes a little bit. This particular Christmas, we had the grandkids over and the family, and Caden, my little three-year-old buddy, my grandson, we were playing together, and I just needed a moment to close my eyes for a minute. I just needed a little bit of a nap. It was the middle of the afternoon, and I talked him into coming upstairs to watch his iPad, so he could watch his iPad and lay next to Papa as he took his little nap. So we're up there for a few minutes, and of course, he's talking nonstop. He's not letting me sleep, but finally, I just dozed off. And I woke up, and it was only 5 minutes, but I slept really deeply for about 5 minutes, and he wasn't there. And I thought, this is working out great, so I'll go back to sleep, right? So he took off somewhere. I didn't know where he went, but he came back up shortly, and he says, "Papa, I asked for a drink of water, and no one would give me a drink of water." And he said, "You're the only one that really loves me. Can you get up and get me a drink of water?" And I wanted to say, man, you know how to manipulate people, bud. I mean, that's just unbelievable. You got that gift from your mom or something. I don't know where that came from. But it was funny because it was just this moment of he wanted me to give him water, and I had to sacrifice and get up out of bed. It's not a great sacrifice, especially on a day off, but I had to get up. I had to get him water, and I'm willing to do that because I do love him, and I want him to know that Papa will sacrifice for him, just like God has made the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. Jesus shows us love, and that love flows from God alone, really, and always involves sacrifice. Next little blank here for you kids, if you're following along, Jesus gives us blank. See if you can figure it out. This is an objective sense of rest and contentment that produces visible action. A little bit tricky, but this one is joy. Jesus gives us joy, which I'm describing as an objective sense of rest, of contentment, of knowing that things are going to be okay, so much so that it sort of produces praise and thanksgiving and a desire to do something positive for the God that gives us such joy. Back again in Luke chapter 2, we read about this when the angels had proclaimed to the shepherds that the Messiah was going to be born. I'm in verse 15 of Luke 2. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Hurried off just doesn't quite cut it. I mean, they literally ran. They dropped everything and ran as fast as they could to see what was happening. When they saw him, they spread the word concerning about him, about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They couldn't help but talk about all the great things that God had done for them. I'm amazed at how happy kids are, grandkids are, when they get presents, but I'm also amazed at how little they last. I didn't mean to, but I hurt Peppa Pig. You know what a Peppa Pig is? It's like a little pig in a house. I'm learning all these things, you know, for a new generation of kids. That was his favorite, one of the kids' favorite Christmas presents, and I left Peppa Pig out of his house, and he was cold, and it was my fault that Peppa Pig was going to get sick. We don't know how long these toys are going to last, but they don't last very long. We had a little bulldozer thing that within 2 seconds, one of my grandkids had ripped the wheel off of it. And it's just incredible, you know, what happens. We get joy out of stuff. Yes, we do. Presents are awesome. I'm pro-present. I mean, I really am. Pro-gifts, I love all those things. But nothing in life, not recreation, not sports, not presents, not Peppa Pig, nothing is going to give you joy and satisfaction other than Jesus. We learn that in Scripture, and we also learn that as we go through life. The last little idea is about peace. If you haven't filled this one in, Jesus gives us peace. And peace, I'm describing, is an inner sense that things will be okay no matter how bad things get. An inner trust, an inner contentment that God knows what he's doing. We can trust him with our lives, and we don't have to figure everything out on our own. Psalm 116 and verse 1 says this. The psalmist says, I love the Lord, for he heard me. I'm not alone. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. I was going through very difficult things. Then I called on the name of the Lord, and I asked him to save me. This is who the Lord is. This is why we can't have peace. The Lord is gracious and righteous, and our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more. Have your blood pressure go down. Be calm once more. Get a good night's sleep for a change and not worry about things all the time. Be at rest once more, oh my God, because the Lord loves you, and he is always good to you, and he will help you through all things in life. So I was thinking about some of the things that kids, you're in the service here. I know it might seem kind of young to go through some of these kinds of things if you're tracking with me, but I was talking to some young kids over this past, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, and it's hard being a kid sometimes, because as a kid, sometimes you're trying to figure out how to be liked by other kids, and some kids like you and some kids don't, and that can be really hard and disappointing. Your parents can sometimes be confusing at times, and they might not always make the right call. And sometimes they can fight, and you wonder, gosh, is they're fighting my fault? And what's going to happen to my parents? Will they stay together? As a kid, sometimes you can go through health problems. You can go through all kinds of issues. Perhaps you're not very good at math or a subject like that, and school is kind of hard for you, and you feel bad about that. As a kiddo, and as an adult, we can identify with those feelings and take them even further. But as a kiddo, I want you to know that God can give you rest in your heart as you trust him with what's going on, with your parents, with your health, or anything. And basically what that is saying, God, I know you're good, and I believe in you, Jesus, and I ask you to give me peace. I ask you to help my mind not worry, help me not try to do things on my own, but just to rest in your presence. I believe in you, Jesus. I need you. No matter what's going on in my life, I trust in you. Jesus gives us that peace. He will do that for you as you believe and as you trust in him. When I was thinking about this series, if you were any part of it in December, you know that I was interviewing some people along the way, having you get to know some folks that I believe are living out these characteristics. I've saved a couple for the last year, in some ways because they're one of my favorite couples of the church. Come on up here, Ed and Brenda Frayer. But they also exhibit a lot of these qualities of hope and of joy and of peace. And so I wanted you to have a seat here. I wanted you to get to know them just a little bit. And I start off these times by saying how grateful I am for you guys and for you being at the church. Gosh, it's been 6 years? 7 years? I'm going to take that one. Yeah, so when you think about some of the things I've been talking about hope and love and peace and those kinds of things, and that it only comes from Jesus, I was just curious, how did you guys first experience a relationship with God through Christ? How'd that happen?
Well, I grew up in a family where I was not allowed to even say the word God, which was confusing. And various people in my life at junior high would have a on-campus ministry kind of thing and would plant the seeds. And then eventually I met Ed, who kind of made it all come together, and his pastor at the time really taught me a lot. More
me. I think it was more me.
And of course, I love Ed's humility. I really appreciate how God uses him.
We're still working on that. My upbringing was, we believed in God, but he was just kind of over there, and I was over here, and just, you know, doing whatever I needed to, or wanted to, really, not needed. And, you know, there was never really a relationship with God. It was just kind of, he was there. He was around. Then about 20 years ago, 24 years ago, I gave my life to him and learned, you know, how to have that relationship and how to work towards all the peace and love and hope and all that. And we're still working on that today. Right, Brenda?
Yes.
That's right.
One of the things I've always appreciated about you is not only are you fun and genuine and you love each other and you love Christ, but you also serve a lot here at the church. You've served in youth ministry, you've served in children's ministry, musicals, projects, and those kinds of things. You're really committed to having people understand who Christ is, that hope and that love and that peace. And one of the things you may not know is you guys have made a recent commitment to continue passing that peace and love on in a sort of a unique way and being a part of a church plant that's happening in Framingham. Yeah. And so part of this is really exciting for me that you're taking up this mantle. Part of it really makes me mad because you won't be around as much.
I know.
But tell us about this, how God spoke to you about this, and tell us a little bit about what this experience is going to be like.
So Faith Community Church in Hopkinton is planting a church in Framingham, which is where we live. That's our home. And it will be a mile and a half from our house and will be an opportunity for us to easily invite our community and our neighbors to know who Jesus is. I brought it so I wouldn't mess it up. I've recently joined their outreach team just this week. So the outreach...
You brought notes?
I did. Oh. The mission that we're going to have is to reach the Metro West community by what we say and do that makes Jesus irresistible. And the thought of being a part of that in my community with the people around me that my kids can invite to church is really exciting and a little bit scary.
Yeah, I can totally understand that, because starting something new is scary. You like being here and your kids love being here, but now you're going to someplace different. And so we really appreciate your courage and your ability to do that. But we also want to make sure you guys know how much we appreciate you and love you and thank you for doing all that you've done here. It'll be weird not seeing you here. You're always usually wearing a ball cap and stuff like that. So it's thanks for...
Well, I got all fancied up.
I know. Thanks for fancying yourself up today. But you got to know, too, that you're always going to be a part of the chapel family. And come back and see us. Let us know how you are doing. You're not that far away. And then we'll be praying for you.
And if anything happens with this plant that doesn't work out, we are coming right back.
Okay. Okay. Well, we don't want to put that into prophecy or anything like that. But we want to make sure that God's plan is good. But you're always welcome. And Ed said that he would only come do this interview if I gave him a car.
No. I said it was an interview like Oprah, and everybody got a car. So
no.
If you want to check under your seats.
No, I got a car for you to help support the ministry and what you're doing. This is, I'll give you the green one. I don't know what color that is. It's some sort of puke.
I'm just happy all the wheels are on it.
So anyway, we love you guys. Can I pray for you real quick?
I just want to say one more thing. You know, we've been watching everybody coming up here, and for this week we were like, why does he want us? We're just changing churches, and the people he's had are going into prisons and opening their homes and doing all these great things. But I just want to say one thing that I've learned is that, you know, it's not about what everybody else is doing. It's just what God is calling you to do. And it might not be to go into the mission field in a country that'll kill you because you love Jesus, or it might not be greeting or in the nursery or doing things that you don't, that you think are great but you can't do. It's about what you can do and where he directs you and just showing up. You know, we've been working with kids and students for a long time now, and I don't have a great Bible degree or anything else, but we just kind of show up, you know, and Brenda just shows up when she's asked, and that's what we're doing, heading with this church plant. You just show up, you know. God will take care of the rest. So
thank you guys. Let's pray together real quick. Father, thank you for this dear couple. I've appreciated their hearts and their ministry here so much. I know they're still going to be a part of our family, and it makes me sad that we won't maybe see them quite as much. But Father, I'm thrilled that they're following you in great faith, that they're stepping out to be a part of this church plan. I pray that you would open up doors for them to reach people. I pray that the finances would come in to start this young church and to have it grow. I pray for lots of life change for themselves and for others as they serve you in this capacity. And would you really bring glory to your name as you have here through this couple and their love for you, their love for each other, and their desire to help others. So we entrust them into your care and ask you to bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give these folks a hand. Thanks, guys. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. So as we continue to worship the Lord, just a couple of things. One, have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? I've been asking you this every Sunday since we started. Have you made that personal decision to trust in Christ? I can't do it for you. No one can. You have to decide that Jesus is worthy of surrender to, worthy of having control of your life, his death on the cross, his resurrection. Second thing is just where I started. I'd love you to think about reading the Bible a little bit more and learning more about who Christ is, about the hope and the joy that he does give. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, just email me or call me. I've got a ton of them. I got a ton of ideas, a ton of ways that you can read through Scripture. You can get to know God. You can have the stories of the things that are written give you endurance and encouragement. It's always good to think about changing your routine a little bit, maybe at the beginning of a new year. So let me know,